We're going to start to call these talks with Tacky, I think. State Representative Tacky Chan of the 2nd Norfolk District here at Quincy is joining us for a weekly update. And I guess this has been, what, 6 or 7 now, Tacky?
Yeah, no, we've been doing this since late April, early April, actually. So as my staff likes to joke, we call this the Tacky Talk. So
Tacky Talk, yeah. Well, it's really great because it provides an outlet for you to get to your constituents and let them know what's going on in Deacon Hill. It's great for us here at QATV. We get some local programming to keep folks up to date. So it's a win-win.
It's also great to have some human interaction, I think the way to put it. It's a good way for just even for you and me to converse, even though it's a public forum, people see it. But I think it's healthy for us to have this opportunity as well, just for our mental health.
Yeah, no, I agree. Good to know that, everybody is still out there, just locked down in their homes. How are you doing personally?
I'm still pretty much limiting my contact with people. I am at home. I do take care of an immune-compromised mother, which I'm a caretaker for. So for me, maintaining a social distancing and cleanliness and mask wearing and all that is a very, very high priority for me. Not personally risk for myself, but obviously risk for someone I care for. For people who have wondered where I've been and not seen me out too much in public or moving very quickly when you do see me in public, that is the reason why. And I am not going to make it any way other than just that. I mean, we have our priorities and we're still doing our best doing our jobs, but we have people to care for, and that's part of life.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're living up to, putting your words into action, personal responsibility, and what better way to set an example than by living it, and really that's what we all can do.
Agreed. Like I always say, thank for everybody that paid attention to the governor's recommendations in the state of emergency regarding mask wearing and social distancing and cleanliness and being conscientious of everyone around you. I think it's very important for us to be conscientious of people around you. All of us have different life circumstances. I mean, you see it on TV every day, you hear it on the radio, and this is real. And it impacts our lives. And we have a responsibility to care for each other. And that includes how we interact with each other in public.
Yeah, and it apparently seems to be working according to all the trends and the statistics anyway. What are you hearing at the state level in terms of how the virus is impacting us now?
Yeah, the ICU beds are decreasing rapidly over the past several weeks. I mean, you can see the charts on the state website as well as hospitalizations. The test rates are moving in the 2% and below zone. But be mindful, the test results are generally 72 to 48 hours or 48 to 72 hours, reporting time. People are very much taking advantage of volunteer testing. The governor's opened more sites, which you also get on the website, for people who have been protesting out in public, making statements in public, being in close contact with people. We are offering free testing for everyone. So those numbers may be shifting around a bit, depending on those test results. We're hoping that everyone does volunteer who has been in a public forum to find out if they're positive or not.
Yeah, and again, I think it's so important to stress, it really doesn't bear overstating that you can be asymptomatic, you can be totally fine and healthy, be COVID positive, and be a carrier and infect someone who is much more susceptible.
That's absolutely correct. I have a friend who tested positive, came down with the symptoms, impacted family members, senior citizens, parents, and he tested positive even though the entire family has gone past the symptoms. So symptoms are gone. They've been 10-ish days or so, and they still tested positive. They remain in quarantine under a lot of stress with no new symptoms. And they had to wait another week or so to show they're tested negative. So this is not a one-size-fits-all disease. I think people should be aware that you may be testing negative fairly quickly after symptoms have passed, or you may still be infected and no symptoms and still test positive.
Any indication as to when kind of part B of phase 2 reopening might happen?
I think you'll be hearing some information as we speak, because governor's press conference is right now. It's noon time on June 8th. I can't pronounce correctly, Juneteenth. you may hear some news today. You may hear some actually more news next week as the weekend numbers come in. It's going to largely determine the governor's desire to continue the phase reopening. So the better we do on bringing these numbers down, the quicker the economy is going to open up. Phase four is going to be the toughest part of whether or not we receive a therapy or vaccine that will allow us to fully open. That will be the hardest part. And even then, as you can tell, the governor has been shifting a little bit here and there to open the economy up as new science comes forward.
Yeah, there were some statistics already this week. I'm sure you heard that something like 3,600 restaurants will probably not reopen after this pandemic. They're looking, I think, to the state for some guidance or some assistance. Is anything that can be done in that level?
Well, we may still have some tools left, but it is getting very challenging for small businesses as a whole, including restaurants, to try to work through this extraordinarily difficult situation for all of us, especially them and their employees and their customers, and of course their landlords because of minimum renters and so forth. So, I mean, the huge ripple effect there. We did a restaurant recovery bill a couple of weeks back. The Senate is still waiting to do their restaurant recovery bill regarding takeout alcohol on spirits, mixed drinks more accurately, and to change the zoning requirements and outdoor seating to expedite the zoning processes and remove the ABCC review process temporarily, as well as the delaying of penalties and fees associated with the meals tax and delaying collection of which. So, I mean, we're trying to do as much as we can on a state and regulatory level, but there's only so much we do. So if you're in a college town, for example, and your business revolves around college students, you prepare for a slower summer, right? But the fall is extremely uncertain and the school year was cut off too early and you didn't get the benefits of graduation, as well, which is a big time. And you see in the news, the Cape is trying to reopen as well. The entire industry revolves around basically less than a 6-month period where the majority of revenue comes in. Anywhere near the convention centers or hotels, people have seen the hotels now furloughing or laying off lots of staff. Weddings are a problem. Part-time workers or secondary income workers are now really being impacted also. So the reality is that depending where you are in your business model, the COVID situation has already damaged you immensely. And whether or not those customers in your area, which your business model is designed around, may not easily return. I mean, if you're in a financial district, there's limitations on office space. A lot of workers are working from home, people that are office space or white collar workers. I mean, we're doing it right now on this call here. And that negatively impacts restaurants, retailers, and so forth that depend on people stopping during lunchtime, coffee breaks, pick up stuff after work.
Yeah, well, the cottage industries, as they say. Do you anticipate the extending of unemployment benefits, perhaps?
Well, it's coming up. End of July, there's still some time. I mean, there's about 4 weeks with extra $600 of unemployment, and then you go to regular unemployment minus $600. As you can see around the country, people are trying to open up. We're trying to open up. And that's kind of an artificial deadline because some folks are doing better on the $600 extra than they would on regular unemployment.
I know, it's so true, yeah.
Yeah, and that will come to an end. So rent payments, I mean, we will help people with making rent and other bills to help keep the economy moving, make sure to buy their essential goods, keeps the economy moving. But yeah, there is a deadline here. And I'm not sure how nationally this is happening, but the federal government needs to think quickly based on the data coming in at that level nationally. Should they be looking to extend extra money longer, given the different situations every state tries to reopen, like Oregon paused, I remember correctly, as well as Utah, because massive spikes in numbers. Places like Arizona is full steam ahead, despite having a somewhat senior population as well, and moving very quickly forward. Florida is feeling the impact, and as I remind people, hot weather doesn't seem to stop this.
Right.
Florida is really hot right now. places like Texas. And of course, if you watch the news, it's a very, very disheartening watching mass graves being still dug in places like Mexico and Brazil in anticipation of high death rates.
Yeah, even in Beijing, just the past week, they had some spikes that they were trying to contain very quickly.
Yeah, China has engaged in a very, very vigorous tracking program. And what most people don't realize about China is that it's a high surveillance state. The concept of civil liberties does not exist in any way, shape, or form in a country like China. So they have the right to basically police their people as they feel they need to. And people monitor the Hong Kong situation have noticed that the Beijing government has decided to try to impose not the same thing, but they're clearly sending some messages they're interested in moving to a Beijing-style surveillance system into Hong Kong, which is causing a lot of nervousness among everyone. But even with that high-level surveillance, utilizing your cell phones to find you, they are now fighting clusters, not surprising, and people are high-gathering areas. And they've moved to a lockdown. If you don't know about the geography of Beijing, please use Google Maps. You can see it's a 25-ish million person city that's super, super dense. And for this high contagious disease that we discovered in other dense populations like New York and Seattle and so forth, it can spread super fast. I think we've done really well is that even though we're moving to the end of the curve, we are clearly making a commitment that should there be a respike, that we'd be better and ready prepared for a second surge, which I still believe is going to happen. Whether Beijing had been preparing for that, we shall see.
Yeah, even, you know, right here at home in Quincy, I just received word this morning from Quincy Asian Resources that the August Moon Festival will be virtual in Quincy this year, that they're not going to have an actual get-together.
Yeah, this is the first time the event's actually been canceled since its inception, or at least in my time of doing it. I've chaired well into 10-plus festivals, including literally making photocopies of my basement in the very early days. Trying to do then a much, much smaller event. It is a disappointment. The closest one we had was about 2003 when a tropical storm came through and we had to move it out 1 week.
I remember
it was the wind that was going to blow the tents away more than the rain. So it is disappointing, but it's once again time for innovation. And if you can, you know, it's important to support our local agencies in Quincy. The Quincy Asian Resources does a lot of good work. It's still trying to maintain services in this situation. QCAP, the YMCA, Germantown Neighborhood Center, Interfaith Social Services, Dove, South Shore Services, and so many more, South Shore Stars, so many more others that are important to our needs. And as the economy slowly recovers, I'm still anticipating an over 10% unemployment rate. And Quincy is one of those communities that does have a lot of wage workers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people here are essential employee workers who are unfortunately contracting COVID, as well as, you know, the higher need for services as we try to slowly recover.
Can we switch gears a little bit, Tacky, and talk a little bit about the plans for some police reforms here in Massachusetts? The governor talked about it earlier this week, and curious to get your take on it.
Well, I'm in a conversation with the Black Latino Caucus, you know, pretty much every day or every couple of days, as best we can. Schedules are crazy, and even though we're not in the state house, it seems like everybody's on the telephone, so there's a lot of text messages and so forth. The Asian Caucus in the House had a meeting yesterday to discuss this issue as well. We feel it's very important that all people of color is engaged in this conversation as well, so we can provide all our different points of views. Given the circumstances nationally, and it seems like every week something happens, and it's like people aren't getting the message. I mean, this behavior you're seeing around the country cannot continue. It just cannot. It's degrading confidence in government, degrading confidence in law enforcement, and it's causing a lot of fear. And as I learn more, like I said, with everything these days, I'm learning on the fly. It is a very low confidence level. And we should not be afraid of the people whose job is to protect ourselves. And that is what's going on. And if you look around, I agree, there is a disparity. I watched an incredible VOX.com video that talked about racial biases in the media. and how, for example, you had in Michigan, the protesters on reopening in the Capitol, people may remember seeing that, they're predominantly Caucasian and they all have guns, and the march around the stage was screaming and spitting on police officers, but there was no SWAT team there. Meanwhile, you have unarmed folks, you know, out there in the streets marching, and they don't have guns. And then, you know, don't get me wrong, people throw rocks and water bottles and, you know, fireworks, unfortunately, which is more dangerous than in firearms in many ways, because basically throwing explosive devices at you. But there aren't that many of them in terms of the bigger picture. I mean, mostly peaceful protests and statement making around the country. But you still have SWAT teams out there. But you have armed individuals at a Capitol building, and there is no SWAT team. So yes, race does play a matter on how people perceive things, and race does have matter regarding how people respond. And this is extremely troubling, you know, behavior. And, you know, because everyone loves the word law and order. Well, for whom are we talking about here? You notice that they're only talking to one audience, and the accusation is of people of color somehow not law and order. That's the implication. Because you listen to who's saying it, look at who's saying it and where they're saying it from, it's very clear there's a message being sent. As a person of color, you know, I have reservations about many things. And I remind folks, I grew up in a different Quincy, and you may not want to admit it or not, it was a different Quincy when I grew up in the 70s, 80s. So people in the audience who are old enough to live through that, you know, should be aware of that. So, you know, I have some ideas on the table. I've talked to some people that do civil rights works, former assistant district attorneys, people who are much more gray hairs than I do, but that have more experience in this matter. And I have some ideas that I've been putting out to the speaker's office. I've talked to my colleagues in Black Latino Caucus as well, some ideas. But, you know, we need to bring some confidence back in our police force, bring some confidence back in our government.
Yeah, and looking at the state auditor's report, mentioning that Massachusetts has one of the highest training requirements in terms of hourly training annually. However, enforcement of that, I guess, is brought into question because it's left up to the local communities to ensure that that training happens. There seems to be need for more oversight, I suppose, on that level.
That's correct. I mean, we do not have a statewide licensing or uniform training process in the state, even though we have a lot of training issues. It's not a uniform program. I have expressed concerns that we should have a uniform program, but I would like to have flexibility for municipalities to craft programs. For example, Quincy is a high immigrant city. Linguistic issues is a major concern of mine. It always has been. I've taken a lot of heat in my 20s. Being outspoken about this, as well as respect for people who are providing support services that are providing linguistic services. You know, we do have a minority population in the city beyond just Asian. I am conscious of that. I don't think everyone is. We do have other nationalities that are not Chinese or Vietnamese. We also do have immigrants, not just from Asian countries, from Eastern Europe and Middle East. I am very conscious of that. Some of your listeners may not fully realize that we have that level of diversity and our government system.
There's a mosque in Quincy Point, a very well-attended mosque.
Oldest mosque in New England is in Massachusetts. I mean, in Quincy. The oldest mosque in New England is in Quincy. So, I mean, you know, it's important for our government to reflect the needs of our people, but it's also important for our government to reflect our government also. And I do use the word our government. So, you know, I think that's a very important thing to remind folks. And, you know, some simple things as well. I mean, talk about decertification, but as you pointed out, if there's no way to ensure compliance, decertification is extremely difficult. You know, we should have some accountability regarding reviews of people who die in custody, some kind of processes. People who now have, everyone has video, can take pictures of everything, some accountability on what is considered excessive force. I mean, once again, you have 4-on-1. I mean, common sense. You know, if anybody's been in a street fight as a kid, you know 4-on-1 isn't good odds for the one that's the one, particularly if you have no weapon. I mean, I just cannot understand how this simple common sense issue is lost on folks, right? We should not be taught as a society that if you see police, get on the ground and put your hands behind your back right away. And there is a double standard. If you watch the media, if you're a person of color, particularly an African-American person, you know, they are on the ground. They have their hands up.
Yeah, these are issues that are coming forward, and part of these protests, I'm sure, are because of that. And I know here in Quincy, there's some virtual community meetings that four of the city councilors have organized to talk about these issues and to ask folks their opinions and their experiences, and maybe lead to some kind of reforms.
Well, I'm slightly troubled by this because at doing meetings and conversations now, I've lived through a lot of this. As well as many other folks. And I know the council has a broad range of generational experience. You know, they should have already some ideas on their own, what Quincy was, where Quincy's been, where we are now, and where we should be going. And hopefully, at the state level, we should have been having these conversations sooner and more often. We've done a number of criminal justice reforms regarding sentencing associated with victims, people of health issues associated with substance abuse and how they're disproportionately impacted by mandatory sentencing. We've already went through that process. We'll probably do another review again. Even during the marijuana debate, people know I'm not very pro-marijuana. That being said, the impact on race and marijuana and disparities of arrests was part of this conversation. People do not realize that the disproportional number impact was on the Black community associated with marijuana arrests in the past. We have expunged those records as part of marijuana legalization for people who had possession in the past in Massachusetts. So as we move forward on different issues at our level, while I'll admit that, you know, we need to do more and we always need to do more, we have been thinking and talking about these issues as they come up every session, and we've been making incremental steps.
Any idea from the speaker of when you might be back in person at the State House, Tacky?
No, that is the short answer.
Okay.
The employees, our families, and the public visiting us is our utmost priority. Ventilation is poor. There is no way to maintain 6 feet distancing from each other. It is a public building. It's hard for us to do limited building access once we fully open. People have a right to come visit the State House, and they should be able to do so safely. And there's so many contact point services throughout the building. If you ever visit us, you will realize very quickly there is no conventional ventilation. Our windows do not go into the center parts of the buildings to bear. So we are very concerned.
Sure. We have a little bit of time, and we always like to end with the census reminder.
Yes, absolutely. If you live in my district, you got a census mailer already that has three languages, Chinese, Vietnamese, and English on those mailers. So I have, you know, put a strong effort to outreach when the printer reopened. The mayor has also sent a census mailer this week. You should also receive that in the mail. We are still slowly but steadily progressing. Nationally, we're at 61.8% response rate. Massachusetts is 63.5% response rate, so we're still trending ahead of the national average. Quincy, on the other hand, still trends behind the state average at 62.4%. Our response rate in 2010 was 68% in 2010.
Wow.
So that's still, I call it D plus.
Yeah.
Really stretch, so I'd like to not be there, and hopefully you not too. Our neighbors in Braintree at 74.2%. They're heading for a CEC plus situation. Weymouth at 69.8%, so they're moving to the C zone also, as well as Randolph at 64.7%, and Milton at 78% in Milton, 78.2%. So there's going to be a B rating in Milton shortly. So, you know, people in Quincy, you're listening or you're watching this video, please do go to 2020census.gov. I know when you do the videos, you put the banner on the bottom. And definitely please fill in your census form.
All right. Ways to reach you, Tacky.
As always, you can reach me by telephone at 617-722-2014, 617-722-2014. Leave a voicemail of any staff person. We will pick up our voicemails on a regular basis. You can email me at tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tackey.chan@mahouse.gov. And of course, you can visit my website at www.tackychan.org. There we continue to put up resources that may not need you to call me. If you can find information there, you can use that. But if you can't find something you can use there, definitely give us a contact.
Okay, very good. Appreciate it. Good to see you on another tacky talk, these virtual talks, and hopefully we can do it in studios soon.
I hope so too, even if it's 6 feet apart and I've used a wide lens.
I always try to get them to use the lens that makes me look 3 feet taller, but they haven't come up with that one yet either.
What was it? You have a height for radio?
Exactly, and the face for it. Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Okay.